sitting on the sidewalk and boom, I ain't got nothing better to do. Mr. S sings a song or two. Now that's amore.
Welcome back to the Summer of Miles podcast. This is episode 7. Thanks to everyone who's listened to those first 6, gone on iTunes, given us 5-star rating, given us some nice comments. That helps the whole party. But we're excited today to interview Andrew Colley, NC State graduate, runs for Zap Fitness and Reebok now. Sandy's going to take that. Today is going to be the last day of that Strava challenge as well. There were some hot times dropped over the weekend, so if you're still wanting to get that freebie into the Sidious Mag presents the Raleigh Denim Mile, get out to Lake Johnson tonight and get that going. All the details are on the Sir Walter Running Strava that you can reach at sirwalterstrava.com, or pictures and where to start and all that stuff are at sirwalterrunning.com. So before we kind of get into this interview, just wanted to check in with Sandy. Sandy, what's going on tonight?
Not much, man. The weather is phenomenal. I'm going to be that guy. How about the weather, Pat?
The weather was really good today. I was going to just do an easy little 5K on the Neuse River Greenway. Did a 10K. No problem.
Kid, gosh. Y'all look at Pat. Week of Sir Walter. New baby and still getting in the miles. You talk about someone who is serious about the weather. Okay.
And pizza.
And pizza. Yeah. By the way, we haven't got any sponsors for our podcast yet. For our clothes, I'll look for food sponsors as well. Locations even. So anyone who's wants to get behind the Summer Miles podcast, please reach out any number of ways. But Pat, this week, you and I both, on our person, we're going to have Summer of Miles, these really cool decals. So come find us, and we're going to have a Summer of Miles decal ready to hand you.
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of these things. We just got them. They look cool. Black and white circle. You know, throw them on your, what would you put them on? A laptop? Maybe a drink container of sorts?
Exactly. Probably some Hydro Flask. Something that...
The back of your Tesla?
Yeah. Something that people are going to see if you have Elliptico, maybe. I don't know. Is that possible?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
These are incredible little decals, again, that represent all that Sir Walter and this summer are. And just also represents this epic podcast that's just blowing up the interwebs. So,
speaking of this podcast, we've really enjoyed doing it for you. We're going to keep them coming this week. We've got a few more interviews that we're going to do. If there's anybody you want to hear from, you've looked at the field, I hope. And if you haven't, get over to sirwaltermiler.com, read the bios. There's been a few changes in the field. Make sure you read that day of info. We're going to be updating that all week, and we are going to have, after we do all these interviews with the athletes and whatnot, we are going to have a day of what you need to know. Sir Walter Miler for Dummies.
Do not want to miss this. This is going to be everything. So like on Friday, when you're just so giddy about getting out of the track and seeing some of the fastest runners in this country, you're gonna be able to listen to this podcast.
And Canada.
And Canada and Mexico.
And Mexico.
Yeah, we've got this hemisphere covered.
NAFTA.
Also, here, Pat, I got a question for you. Week of Sir Walter, clearly the night of, definitely the highlight. But, you know, this is a big week for us. What are you most looking forward to between now and, I'm going to say, Friday morning?
Well, the preparation is a lot of fun, getting our whole team together. The Sir Walter team has expanded this year. We have a bunch of interns this year. A lot of hard work goes into this. And they say trust the process. I dig the process. We've had a good summer.
Pat, we've been trusting the process really for the past 4 years, and we're starting to see the dividends pay out. Here's my question. When is the Wicked Weed beer, Summer of Miles, when is that making the journey to Raleigh?
That's a good question. It is under lock and key right now.
Clearly.
It is potentially the most limited release they've ever had. There's only going to be 4 sixths of it. So that means, you know, 4 little baby kegs. 2 are going to be at Raleigh Brewing Friday night. 2 are going to be at the Sir Walter Extra Miler that Saturday. So if you like whales, if you like really good beer, make sure you get a piece of this. The Summer of Miles Pale Ale. Just drink one for us.
Yeah, the name has a ring to it. My father-in-law, Pat, wants me to get a growler of it. Is this going to be possible?
I'm going to tell Johnny at Tasty to set aside a few growlers for us, and we'll see what they look like on the black market, especially to your father-in-law.
Ah, well, you know, of course, not being a huge beer guy myself, but getting out there and actually helping to make this thing, I am so epically excited for this thing to make its journey to Raleigh and then to the Sir Walter Extra Miler to party. What else is going on that day? Have we revealed that yet?
Yeah, it's out there. If you know Craig Ingalls, the beautiful mullet, beautiful mustache. Going to be running for us Friday night, getting it done out there on the track, looking for his first sub four. He's actually going to be cutting this off on Saturday at the Sir Walter Extra Miler. Our partners and friends over at Arrow are going to be doing this for him. He's raising money, so make sure you go to his bio. He's got some great causes going to raise money here. So check it out and come out. It's another reason to meet Craig Engels, watch him shave this mullet off, and just have some fun with some other people that are probably more into running than the people you work or go to school with.
That's hot. All right. Well, without further ado, I'm excited. I get to interview probably one of my favorite prayer runners that I'm just a huge fan of, Andrew Colley. Again, as Pat mentioned, ran NC State. So local from Virginia, though, has illustrious career at NC State, has an enormous talent. I mean, even Ryan Hill, and I've talked about, I mean, you cannot deny talent with this guy. I mean, just lights out, but has been on the grind for a few years with injury and been in some kind of seasons, been in the valleys a little bit. And we're going to talk about that in a little segment coming up here called The Summer of Denials. And let's go ahead and talk to Colley, and we'll kind of work into that. But I'm excited for this segment and bringing Colley not only on our podcast, but more importantly to Raleigh this upcoming Friday night. So without further ado, Mr. Andrew Long hair, beautiful locks, Colley. All right, well, guys, again here, Summer of Miles podcast, and I'm particularly excited right now that we get to have on the line with us the Andrew Colley. Guys, if you don't know, this guy has the most beautiful locks in all of distance running. Maybe I'll go as far as to say in the sprint world as well. But Andrew Colley, welcome to the Summer of Miles podcast, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
I'll have to say, so Andrew and I were teammates at NC State, which was an incredible joy just to see his enthusiasm, love of the sport. But if you know Andrew Colley, this guy is tough as nails. Colley, just real quick, walk us through a few, well, give me your kind of overview of accolades at NC State.
Yeah, man. So had a conference championship under my belt, one team title. I think I'm at five-time All-American with three on the cross-country course, all in the top 16, I believe. And then also two on the track.
Good gosh. So this guy. So you had what you would call, were you pleased with your career at NC State?
I had a great time at NC State. I was happy to be able to compete under Geiger. I would say I was a little disappointed with the amount of injury I had and how much I was on the sidelines. But other than that, I was really pleased with getting to run with those boys those 5 years.
Oh, gosh. And I'll have to recall, there was a period where I think I had just graduated, but we had a nice little training group. We had, of course, Ryan Hill, Andrew, yourself, Bobby Mack, Stephen First, and I was able to hang on by a thread to this group.
Oh, please.
And I tell you, that was the glory days of kind of the Geiger training group, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And don't forget, yeah, Bobby Moldovan in there.
Bobby Moldovan, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that was a training group and a half.
Good night. I tell you what, there were some epic workouts. I can remember there were some people that were put in the Hurt Locker, mainly myself, as we had a very talented slew of guys training under Coach Geiger at that point. And then, of course, so, you know, you had your last NCAA race, right? It was a 5K out in Oregon, right?
Yep. That's and correct.
How did you do? Because you at one point were leading that race, right? You kind of had a great exit from NC State with that race, didn't you?
Yeah, it was maybe got a little too ahead of myself. It was me and oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name, but it was me and I think it was a guy from Arkansas, and we were, I think we went out in like 29 through the first quarter in 62. Yeah. And a little hot pace for me, but I think I ended up 11 that day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, of course, with just obviously your talent ceiling, I mean, you coming out of Virginia, you were the man. I think I remember hearing coming out, you had broken one of Alan Webb's cross-country course records. Isn't that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Which one was that?
It was the state meet course record, 15:02. Good day.
Is that in the Plains?
My team, that's when we got the team title, too. So that really was special for me that day.
Nice. And that was that out the Plains, that cross country course?
Oh, it's called the Great Meadows.
Great Meadows, yeah. In the Plains, Virginia, right?
Yep, that's right. Nice. Rolling Hills.
Rolling Hills, there we go. Awesome. Well, of course, with your success at NC State under Coach Geiger, obviously, Ryan Hill passed the proverbial baton to you, and just in terms of your national running accolades, you really carried it extremely well. And of course, that led you to where you are now. Give kind of a brief overview of how you left NC State and then where you ended up where you are currently.
Yeah, so I left NC State and signed with Flynn Sports, and was kind of just out on my own looking for a place to train, getting a group to train with, because I always feel like you're only as good as the people you run with. Mm-hmm. Heard about Zap Fitness up in the mountains of North Carolina, so not too far from home, and really a smooth transition. Got to talk to Pete Ray, my coach now, and couldn't be happier. We're like a family out here, so it's been a really great experience so far.
And, you do, with your beautiful locks, you kind of have this incredible combination of like a kind of like this hippie surfer, but then this like granola mountain man. So like, I think Boone is a great spot for you, is it not?
Yeah. I'm missing the ocean a little bit, but we've got a few lakes around here, so I can just get the surfboard out and tow it behind a boat or something,
Bass Lake, right? That's the one you're...
We work out at Bass Lake all the time.
Yeah, there we go. Now, Kylie, I know when you came, your first kind of year at Zap, I mean, you were on fire. Walk through some of those races that you really put yourself on the map. Talk through a little of those.
Yeah. I'd say my first, one of my first races where I had a pretty good day would be at the Manchester Road Race. Pretty popular road race on Thanksgiving in Connecticut. I finished third to, Sam Chalanga and Ben True, and I was only like a second and a half, 2 seconds behind them, and really was up there fighting with them, and it was really cool to be able to do that, and definitely one of my better efforts. And then the following spring, so a couple months later, I made the world cross country team and went to China to represent the U.S., and then I also made the Edinburgh USA team as well for cross country.
Yeah, so obviously in the likes of Chalanga and True, epic performance, and then kind of following that with making what you call a national, well, representing the U.S. twice in Edinburgh and then also on the cross world team, obviously distinguishing yourself as being able and capable of running on that next level. Kind of walk for those, so what year was that, Collie?
I believe that was fall of 2014 and then early 2015, like February 2015.
Okay. So obviously coming right out of school, hopping into the pro scene, making a splash. But here we are a few years later, and I know you, just knowing you personally, but also following the sport.
Yeah.
Haven't seen your name, in the results a ton. Kind of, if you can just walk through a little of what these past year and a half, 2 years, in terms of where you've been with your running.
Yeah, definitely. So, kind of after that, making that world team, kind of turned into somewhat of a ghost. I had some bad luck. I got, while I was in China for Worlds, I got giardia. night before the race, day of the race. Then after that, I kind of just fell into some bad luck, you know, and I ended up tearing my plantar partially once and then fully that August following the Worlds. And that was a real hard time for me. And it kind of just led into a two-year period of injury after injury or complications with injuries. I think after I tore my plantar, I had a nerve in the plantar, which made me out of commission from August 2015 all the way to January 2016.
Yeah.
And then countless hours in the pool, get to January 2016, and I get a double sacral stress fracture on both sides.
What are the odds of that? I'm sure you probably heard. I mean, that's almost unheard of, right, at the same time?
Yeah. Completely unheard of. And I think I probably had one of them for a little while and compensated, and then the other one just went as well. And after that, you know, it took about another full year before I could get my body back into where it was. Had hamstring injuries and then little stress reactions occurring over and over again, and kind of just having to deal with patience, I guess would be the best way, patience and resilience, just you're getting down, but you just got to keep fighting no matter how tough it feels. Yeah. And finally, I'm at a place where I've had some consistent health, maybe not the best shape or best feeling that I've had with my body, but I've had consistent health, which is truly a blessing.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm gonna kind of jump back in there. So kind of a theme I've been kind of wrestling with in my own life, but then just as I talk to guys like you and others who, you know, have immense talent, have tasted success, but have been, because of injury or any number of reasons, been sidelined for an extended period. That's hard, especially when, you know, right now this is your career. And Kali, it's interesting. I appreciate you kind of sharing that two-year span. I mean, you know, literally the worst luck that one could have, probably from tearing the plantar to what you got in China to the double sacral stress fracture. I mean, just one thing after another. And as you know, with distance running, consistency matters. Sometimes it's not the most talented, but it's the most consistent. And so consistency you're, you know, up and down with these injuries is nearly impossible. And so anyhow, this is actually a segment that I think we're going to start here. And I'm honored to kind of have you first to talk to a little on, you know, here we're the Summer of Miles podcast. And right now, and leading up to our race, we're really celebrating all things mile related, more of it kind of in the triumphant success. And we've talked to folks who are running really well right now and running the best and have a high ceiling and the future's in front of them. But, you know, there are some folks out there, and I think you could speak to, who honestly have been on the grind and probably have experienced more, I don't say failure, but not being able to achieve what you know is possible. And I think that sometimes it's important that we give a voice to those who, really in platform, those who are kind of been on the struggle. And so that's why I've been wrestling with this idea of not the, we're in the Summer of Miles, yes, but this is a segment I want to give a title to called The Summer of Denials. And it's the idea that, you know, as runners, we all have goals and we kind of, to some extent, know what we're capable of, but for a lot of times we aren't able to achieve that. And so we're left on the sidelines having to mentally and emotionally process kind of what that means to not hit what we know we're capable of, and see peers go to Europe and kill it in PR, or see guys that were rivals or girls that we were rivals with in high school that we know we have that talent, and yet they're killing us and running way better. And so that's why the Summer of Denials is this idea that sometimes we got to acknowledge the weakness of our bodies and our minds and say, you know what, that's okay, because even being able to put a name to that, I think more people can probably relate to that than the 350 miler or the 428 female. That's a rare breed. That's rarefied air. But most people can wrestle and can relate to an injury or really missing or being or experiencing failure in a race or in training or just not being able to accomplish what they know they're they're capable of. So wanted just to kind of, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of sharing your emotional state during those 2 years, kind of the ups and downs and even some of the dark spaces that you might have been in during that period.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, the first thing, like when I started with that injury, with that torn plantar, you know, I was all gung ho. You know, at first when you get hurt, you're like, all right, I'm gonna do everything I can to get back. So, I'm gonna train in the pool as hard as I can. You know, and then you do that and you think, okay, I'm ready to go. I've done everything I'm supposed to. And then you go to the doc, and he's like, all right, you've got a nerve entrapment. You need to chill out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I did everything I'm supposed to. Like, you're trying to stay positive and all these things because you still have your teammates, and you're trying to, you know, get through this next one. But you did everything you're supposed to do, and then you still get like something that's one of the worst things that can happen through the injury happen again. And that can put you, it wears you out, mm-hmm. you know, because you're like, man, I'm doing everything I can do and still things just aren't working out. And like, there were times when, you know, it's almost like a movie, because it's like the fall's ending and the winter's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's dark and dreary out, and you're just, like, hurt, and you can't run, and your teammates are out there. With Zap, we've got a full team, so they're going to clubs, and they're killing it. And I just got to sit back, and I'm gonna end up at Zap all alone in the middle of the woods in the mountains. And, those are some dark times. A lot of times getting frustrated, taking my fist to the wall a few times, we got a punching bag that I wore out for a few days, chopping wood, doing all that
there
kind of
go, thing. There we go, mountain man.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll tell you what, it was not easy. And then you don't want to, if you have teammates or you have family, you know, you don't want to bring them down, but at the same time you kind of need them to help you get through it. So it's a bear, man. It's not always stay positive and the next thing is going to come and you're going to get better and you're going to start. It's what do you do when you're hurt, you stay positive, and then you get hurt again. You know,
yeah.
People don't think about that very often.
I know, that's the challenge, right? I mean, so if you can go there, Kali, I mean, what would you say in that time was kind of the lowest period for you? And then, to answer the follow-up, what kind of got you out of that?
Yeah, so lowest period probably for me I remember it very clearly. It was probably after I got that double sacral stress fracture.
Mm.
I had gone through the nerve entrapment, and so how it worked was every time my coach would have me come out and we tested out on an Alter G and like slowly introduce weight. And I finally, like, I mean, we're talking 6 months of every time I step being in complete pain. And it finally got better, and I got pretty pumped. And I was at home with my parents because it was over Christmas. So I went and visited them, and I was on the Alter G, and I was starting to run and get some good miles in. And then we go to Tallahassee, Florida for winter training, and we get there, and one of the first workouts, I think it's the first week of January, I start running, and I feel something in my hip, and I'm like, okay, it's a warm-up, let's just see if it loosens up, get my assistant coach to dig in there a little bit. I remember getting 3 miles into the tempo and being like, something's wrong. End up not running for 2 days, go get an MRI. They're like, yeah, you got a double sacral stress fracture. And my coach, I was in a pretty dark place. Just we were staying out of an extended stay hotel, and I was just in the room every day, just like staring at the wall, just thinking, you know, like typical why me? Like, I just got through this almost full year of having pain in my foot, and I get it better, and now I'm on like a pretty long recovery. I think sacral stress fractures take between 12 and 15 weeks, and mine ended up taking 16. And so I just remember having to skip that trip and just go back home and being at my house every day alone, and just, you know, it was a pretty depressing time, and I fought some demons there, and it was a struggle getting through each day, and, you know, you go home because, you know, your family's going to support you no matter what. And they really got me through it, but it was a struggle every day because, you know, as a runner, like, people say that you should have stuff in your life other than running, but most people in the sport have been doing it a while, and it's shaped who they are. So yeah. it's such a deep level of yourself. So trying to being kept from doing that, oh man, it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once I got back to Zap, I really threw myself into my teammates' training, and really like tried to focus on doing everything I could to help them. But I mean, to be honest, it was to distract myself, you know, to keep as busy as possible, so I'm not thinking about, I can't run. Oh, my hip! Like, I just walked 200 meters, and my hip feels like it has a knife in it. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So like, once I started throwing myself into my teammates' training and really, like, I don't know, threw myself into other people's lives, that's when it started to kind of. That's when the healing was happening, both mentally and physically, and I was able to kind of get out of that depressed zone, and that's actually when most of the physical healing occurred as well.
Dude, golly.
Pretty
man.
Cool.
Dude, there's some deep wisdom there, man. I think, you know, most of us probably can't relate to your talent level and knowing what you're capable of, but I think for those out there listening, I'm sure we'll hear some stories coming out of this of just, yeah, what it's been like in some of those seasons when something that brings so much joy and really for a lot of us has been an identity and has been a lot of where we went to school or the friends that we've met or just the communities we enjoy being a part of. When that's taken away and we feel like we're missing out, it forces us to question a lot and really sometimes into some places of loneliness. And I appreciate you putting words to that, especially when you're around guys who are a lot of them running very well and they have their own demons and they, you know, they don't have a large bandwidth to kind of take on your trials as well. And so you're kind of left to kind of process them with family. Yes. Cause they're always there, but then trying to figure out ways to kind of, you know, cope with. And I love hearing about how you kind of poured yourself into others. I think it's a great way. Cause one, it forces you into some gratitude of, you know, the blessings that you have had, but also too, I think you can kind of, running is a selfish sport. And so to be able to kind of cheer on other people and that seeing that selfless side, I think that, that brings out, some really good, physical and emotional healing that I think is important even when you get back to full health and, which you did. So, all right, let's kind of jump forward. You're running healthy. Of course you're coming off a summer in Europe. Not ideal, but what are some of the feelings right now of just gratitude to be running, considering, you know, where you've kind of come out of?
Yeah. I told, so one of my best friends growing up, his dad came into town and he was asking me how I'm doing. And he's like, man, like, what is it with this running? What, what's get you? And I'm just like, man, my day and my life does not make sense to me without the running there. So like when I'm running, it just makes me like so happy. I like just smile on the face. I don't know, cracking jokes with my teammates is what I love to do. And so like it has been incredible having health this year. I think I got my stress reaction back in late November, and I started training again in mid to late January. So I've had almost a half a year, January, February. Yeah, over half a year of health now, which has been rare for me over the years, as you remember from college.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's been amazing, you know, getting back out there in Europe. I had a little sickness, a little back spasm while I was out there, just ridiculous, unfortunate events. But, you know, just getting back out there has been a true blessing. And I can't think of something I'd rather do. Like sometimes people, you know, they ask, like, hey, man, what would you do if you won the lottery? And like, I think I'd be doing the same thing, to be honest.
There we go. That's the collie right there. Well, man, I can't tell much. I appreciate you just willing to. A lot of times it's easy looking back, and I still think you're kind of coming out of it, even, you know, performance and just emotionally, but just being able to go there and articulate that, because the reality is a lot of us and people even right now are feeling that same way. So I hope this kind of thematic, maybe a little segment here of Summer of Denials, not meant to be a downer, but just meant to kind of think through some of the harder parts of this sport, and someone who's, you know, has had a lot of success, but also wrestled with a lot of emotional and physical distress, to be able to speak to that is incredible. And so I really appreciate you going there with me, man. I tell you, we are so excited to really invite you back home to good old Raleigh to have you at Sir Walter this Friday. My final question just today will be, man, what are you most looking forward to for the race coming up this Friday?
Man, I am pumped to be back in Raleigh. I've always wanted to race on that track right there. I've been to the event, I think, two or three times now, just to watch, and it's been awesome. So I'm just excited to be a part of it, get out there with a couple of my former teammates who are also going to be racing, Craig and Graham Crawford. And, of course, I got to throw a shout-out to you and the team that's put together such a cool event that's really brought running into a new form, and it's really cool to see where it's going.
Man, well, we appreciate that. I know Pat Price, my brother Logan, and I, we consider ourselves the running avant-garde of trying to bring something new to the sport, and we're honored to have you come through, man. I hope folks are listening will come out this Friday and cheer on guys like Andrew Colley. You won't miss him. He'll have the long, flowing locks. Beautiful. Colley, real quick, what kind of shampoo are you using?
Oh, you know I've got to stick with the Pantene. You know?
Pantene.
It's the next level. You got to upgrade your hair care.
You heard it first here. Is this Pantene Pro-V or is this the...
Oh, Pro-V every time.
Okay, good. Just make sure if anyone was wondering which style. Well, guys, come out to support Andrew Colley and his crew from Zap. But personally, I remember Andrew, you and I talking last year at the post-race party and just being like, man, you know, both just kind of hearing your story. And it's cool to see we're, you know, a year later, hopefully a year wiser, a little bit faster, hopefully, and just to see you looking forward to getting out to Raleigh, and I know you're going to rip it, man. So, again, thanks for coming on the podcast, and we'll be cheering you on around that Meredith track that you've run by so much but never run on, and I think it's going to have some good times for you.
Oh, for sure, man. Love it.
All right. Well, guys, this is Andrew Colley. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, of course. Have a good one.
All right.
That's it, guys. An awesome interview with Sandy and Andrew Colley there. It's always great to hear a little bit deeper behind. Everything's going great. Miles are going in. speed work's going well, races are going well. That's a little behind the scenes. Most runners have been there. Runners get hurt. That's what happens. If you push yourself hard enough, it's gonna happen to you at some point in your career. So it's good to hear how Andrew was able to rally back, and we're excited to have him on Friday. That being said, stay on the website, SirWalterMiler.com, SummerMiler.com. Hit us up on all the social media. Tell your friends, tell your family. This week is going to be awesome.
If you don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long-haired country boy alone.